There are a number of mitzvahs in Parshas Re, a number of mitzvahs that seem to not be so relevant. Definitely there are some mitzvahs that are relevant, but there are a number of mitzvahs that would seem to be anachronistic, not really so shayach for us b'zman hazeh. And tonight I want to focus on the psukim surrounding one of these mitzvahs and really focus on the nature of this mitzvah. And it's the mitzvah of Navi Sheker. Navi Sheker, and you hear the mitzvah of Navi Sheker, what does this have to do with us today? A false prophet, you know, a person that actually does miracles, does these signs from heaven, and then tries to lead you astray. So the question is, you know, how is that relevant for us today? So before we even get to the relevance of Navi Sheker today, there's a very important pasuk just in the section of Navi Sheker itself, a very powerful pasuk. There's a little bit of a story surrounding it. It's in Perek Yud Gimel Pasuk Hey, page 10,006, 10,007 in the Art Scroll, the bottom of the page. Acharei Adonai Eloheichem Teilechu Va'osotzi Ra'u Ve'es Mitzvosav Tishmaru Ve'kolu Tishmo Va'osos Avodu Vosid Bakun. Right, that as opposed to this Navi, this false prophet's trying to lead you astray, you should go after Hashem, your God, you should fear him, and you should guard his mitzvos, and you should hearken to his voice, and him you should serve, and uvosid bakun, and him you should attach yourself to. Uvosid bakun, the idea of devekus, of being davik b'Hashem. So the story is told that when the Chafetz Chaim was at the first Knessia Gedola in Vienna, right, that famous video that came out from the Chafetz Chaim, that video footage, that film footage of the Chafetz Chaim, no? That they found in like the University of South Carolina film archives or something.
It's like walking, right?
You just see him walking with people around him. You see how short he was. And the Chafetz Chaim, that was in Vienna. That was at the Knessia Gedola in Vienna. It didn't have really video cameras. It didn't have films going in Radin, in Poland. Radin was a tiny town. But Vienna was a major metropolis. And we know that Chafetz Chaim was in attendance. He was the most honored guest. So when he was there, he met with honor with one of the, he had a private meeting, again, private, meaning just the two of them, but other people were there listening in, with one of the other major, major world Jewry leaders. And who was that? That was the Imre Amos. People don't realize that Ger Hasidim were more than 250,000 of people. Before the war, there were 250,000 Ger Hasidim alone. People thought that Ger maybe was even bigger than that. I mean, you're talking about a massive amount of people. And that's why when Sara Schneer wanted to open up Beis Yaakov, they say, who were the two people that she wanted to sign off on it to be able to open it up without reservation, without worrying about, you know, what people were going to say and the headaches from Kana'im? It was the Chafetz Chaim and the Imre Amos. The Ger Rebbe, who was like the de facto leader of all Hasidus, Kemat. I mean, you know, there was the Lubavitcher Rebbe, the Friedrich Rebbe was very great, but the Imre Amos, the Polishers, the Gers were the strongest Hasidic group. And so the Chafetz Chaim had a meeting together with the Imre Amos, and the Chafetz Chaim asked him about this pasuk. Why does the pasuk say Acharei Hashem Elokeichem Teilechu? What was the Chafetz Chaim's problem? He pointed out that in Bereishis Perek Tezvav Pasuk Aleph, the bottom of 64 to the top of 66 in Parshas Lach Lecha, you don't have to turn there, but the pasuk there says Achar Hadvarim Ha'Elo Hayad Dvar Adonai Al Avram B'Machazel Leimor Al Tira Avram Anochi Magen Lach Schar Chahar B'Maod. That after these things, after the war of the four kings and the five kings, the word of God came to Avram in a vision and told him, don't worry, Avram. Right? And Rashi there says on the words, Achar Advarim Ha'ele, he points out that, Kamakum Shenemer Achar, Samuch, Acharei Muflag. Rashi quotes a Bereishis Rabbah that whenever you find the Lashon of Achar, Achar Advarim Ha'ele, that means very close to the previous thing. When it says Acharei, that's Muflag. That means it was a long time. There was a great distance, if you will, between the two events. So the Chafetz Chaim said to the Imre Amos, why does it say, Acharei Hashem Elokeichem Teilechu? We're talking about a person that's going to fear Hashem, that's going to guard Hashem's mitzvahs, that's going to listen to Hashem's voice, that's going to serve Hashem, that's going to attach himself to Hashem, right? As opposed to the Navi, the false prophet who's going, you know, astray and trying to lead a person astray. So why does it say acharei, a lashon muflug of great distance? It should say acher, that a person is coming close to Hashem. You're fearing Hashem, you're serving Hashem. The pasuk ends, uboset bakun. Uboset bakun means that what? Tveikus. It's the goal of everything. Mamash, to be attached to God. Again, not literally attached. Rashi last week, God is not physical. But uboset bakun shows that there's great closeness between Hashem and this person. So why does it use the lashon of acharei? And the Chafetz Chaim told Imre Amos, I'll tell you pshat. He says that what this pasuk is teaching us is yesod gadol. That when a person feels that there's a great distance between himself or herself and Hashem, a person feels yish, a person feels despair that they're so, so far away from Hashem, he says it's not true. That's the yesod. The yesod is that it's not true. That's what this pasuk is teaching us. Acharei Hashem Elokeichem Teilechu, that when a person feels that they're so, so far away from Hashem, you should know the Chafetz Chaim told Imre Amos that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is an Avarachamon. Hashem is an all-merciful Father, and Hashem just wants to be close to us. And even that person that feels so miyush, feels so full of despair, feels so broken, understand that Hashem is so close to you. And Mam, she can come to Ubosid Bakun, to come to attach yourself to Hashem. And the Chafetz Chaim said that this is the message of this pasuk, that Hashem will always take his child back. So the Imre Amos said to the Chafetz Chaim, can I give you a little bit of a kenech on that, al piderech hasidus? So he said, okay. So the Imre Amos said that al piderech hasidus, what you would say is, davka because the person feels that distance, davka because the person has that broken heart, davka because the person is so low, that's davka why Hashem is so close to him. Because the pasuk tells us, the pasuk karv Hashem l'nishbrei lev, that Hashem is close to those that are of broken heart. And so this pasuk that's talking about in the context of the Navi Sheker is teaching us a tremendous yesod vis-a-vis this time of year. This time of year we're talking about Rosh Chodesh El is the Shabbos, right? Rosh Hashanah is the countdown to Rosh Hashanah is less than 40 days to Rosh Hashanah. So it's a very intense time. We're coming upon perhaps the most intense time of the entire year, right? I know Erev Pesach is also intense for different reasons, but in terms of Cheshbon HaNefesh, in terms of a person really taking stock of herself and see where am I, how did I live up to the goals that I wanted for this year, what are the goals that I even have, hasagos, that I even have ideas to try and accomplish this next year. And when a person gets involved in that process, a person can feel so small. A person can feel so rejected. A person can mamish just fill herself with despair and become broken. And so both the Chafetz Chaim and the Imre Amos, mamish, the great Torah leaders. I mean, there was also Chaim Moshe Grudzinski, and there were others. I don't mean to minimize, but these were two of the greatest of the greats of the time in the world. But they both said that the nekuda of this pasuk of Acharei Hashem Elokeichem Teilechu is teaching us that dafka because there's distance. The Chafetz Chaim is saying not because of distance. Chafetz Chaim is saying that person who feels the distance understand that that's not true. Understand that you feel distance, and the end of the pasuk is Ubosid Bakun. Hashem will bring you close. Hashem will always bring back. And but the Imre Amos says even further. It says dafka because the Acharei, dafka because you feel far. Understand that when a Jew feels that, Hashem is crying to be close to that person. That it's dafka because karv Hashem l'nishbrei relev. Again, Hashem is so close to those of broken heart. And there's a pasuk in the beginning of this week's parsha that really supports this idea as well. A pasuk in the very beginning of the parsha, Perik Yud Beis, pasuk Hey. It's an idea from the Chassam Sofer. There's an idea that I think, I don't know that we said over in a woman's shir, you know, but it's an idea that I know we've shared before in different contexts. I believe Ishal Shudis, maybe it was also the woman's shir. I don't know. But it's page 1000, when it's talking about Yushalayim, Ki im el ha-makom asher yivchar Adonai Eloheichem mikol shevtechem lasum eshemo sham, that but to the place that Hashem will choose from all the Shvatim to place his name, to rest his name there, L'shichno sidrashu uvasa shama, that you shall seek out his dwelling place and you will come there. Right? And so we know it's a famous Shaila, and beside, why isn't Yerushalayim mentioned by name? It's a fascinating discussion. That's a great topic for a Shabbos meal. Why do you think Hashem refers to Yerushalayim so many times in Sefer Dvarim, this week's Parsha, all over the Parsha, doesn't mention Yerushalayim by name once? The first time Yerushalayim is mentioned by name, that we even know there's a place called Yerushalayim, is in Sefer Yeshua, I believe it's Perek Yud. It's the first time we know there's a place called Yerushalayim. We don't know there's a place called Yerushalayim until Yeshua. So that's, Rambam has a bunch of theorem. It's a fascinating discussion. It's something to think about. Why would the Torah not say where this place is? And there's some very logical answers. It's not something you have to be steeped in the deepest secrets of Torah. You should just think logically. You can come to some very good ideas. But the Chasam Sofer says that this pasuk, the way the pasuk is phrased, the end of this pasuk, l'shichno sidrashu v'asa shama, he says this is a pasuk that teaches us the so that the Gemara in Shabbos Kuf Dalet Amud Aleph has. The Gemara in Shabbos Kuf Dalet Amud Aleph teaches us the yisod that habo l'taher nesayin also, that a person comes to purify himself, to purify herself, that a person wants to serve Hashem, a person wants to go in ruchnius and spirituality, Hashem will help that person. Hashem can't hold that back from a person who really desires that. And the Chasam Sofer says that's what the pasuk means. L'sichno sidrashu, that when a person is seeking out God's dwelling place, when a person is seeking out to become close to the Ribbono Shalom, then the pasuk telling us automatically, uvasa shama, you will come there. You will arrive in that place. If a person has a real ratzon, the Gemara in Mako says it a little bit differently. Dafyud ein davar omed b'fnei ratzon. Nothing stands in front of ratzon. Right? And so we've said this many times. Ravalvi one time points out. That's why he says at the end of a person's life, you see what the person really cared about. Because Chazal tell us ein davar omed b'fnei ratzon. Nothing can stand in the place of a person's will. So that means what a person really has a ratzon for, they're going to accomplish in their lifetime. So that's why you see what a person really cared about. A person, Nebuch, Rachmanu Litzlan, Rachmanu Litzlan. A person doesn't care about anything. It means the person will accomplish nothing. The person will accomplish nothing, you know. Yeah, I've been to Levayas where just like shocking things were said in Hespedim. And it was just like so depressing. Like, really? This is the person's Levaya? You're going to talk about the person this way? Like, is this a joke? Yeah, it's like unbelievable. But you realize, no, maybe this person really only cared about that sports team. That's what was so important to that person. This person only cared about dressing in a certain way. Like, mamish, crazy, crazy. You know, so that's what the Chasam Sofer says. L'shichno sidrashu v'asa shoma. You're going to come there. It's going to be, and that's what the Chafetz Chaim and both the Chafetz Chaim and the Imre Amos are telling us about. Achri Hashem Elokeichem Teilechu. That acharei from Rashi Tezvav Aleph is a lashon muflug, a lashon of distance, and the Chafetz Chaim says that the lashon distance is pasuk is teaching us it's not true that even though you feel that mamish there's dveikus waiting for the person, and the Rambam says it's because of that feeling that's punct why the person will come to that. So that's one idea from this section. The other part, the idea from this is another idea from the Chafetz Chaim. The very first pasuk Rashi points out a question. The very first pasuk is pasuk beis, and if you look in Rashi, Rashi says actually mamsh the end the last Rashi on this on page 1006, mamsh the last one left column bottom, second to last line there's vav aleph quotation marks tough that's v'im tomar, and if you'll say mipnei man nosein la kadosh baruch hu memshela lasosos. Why did Hashem give this person the control to actually perform a wonder? Like, mamsh, this isn't going to be sleight of hand. We're saying this person is going to have supernatural abilities. This person is going to do amazing things. Why is that? You know, and you should know, there's a fellow, Rabbi Gutman Locks, who lives in the Old City. His nickname is Guru Gil. That just describes his background. He was a fascinating guy, originally from Oklahoma, very successful businessman who realized, like, okay, this isn't what life is about. This can't be what life is about. A Jewish fellow, and he mamash went all over the world, and he studied faith healing from a Christian faith healer, and he went to the Far East, and he went to India. He said his Swami in India, mamash performed miracles. His Swami in India, he said he wasn't on anything, could make a diamond out of thin air. So there's a rampaging elephant, and just went like that, and the elephant just stopped dead in its tracks. You know, he said there really are kochos in this world. Again, whether you believe him, whether you don't. But it seems that there really are things in this world that are supernatural. So why does Hashem give power to people like that? So the Pasuk answers, Ki menas Hashem elokeichem eschem. It's Pasuk Dalet that Hashem is testing you. Ladas, to know if you're with Hashem or not. Are you with Hashem or not? So, it's interesting. The Chafetz Chaim says that, you know, we think it's only with, you know, these supernatural abilities. He says, what happens when a Jew sees mamash rishon being so successful in this world? Mamash see horrific people, rishon, so powerful, so rich, having such hatzlacha, such success. Mamish, like Dafka, the person who goes away, Rahman al-Atslan from Torah, being so successful. Mamish, how is that fair? I don't understand, Ribbono Shalom. Why is it that person? Chafetz Chaim says that's today's version of a Navi Sheker. You think what? You think Hashem gives kochos to a Navi Sheker to test us only in terms of Ruchnius, gives this guy or this woman the ability to be this false prophet, to do miracles and to test our emunah b'Hashem, or we have emunah. No. He says nowadays, just like we think, there are no Nevi'im, but the challenge of Navi Sheker, Chofetz Chaim says, is the same. It's not with spirituality. But when we see people, dafka der mechal Shabbos, and then all of a sudden they're doing well. I don't understand. I thought Chazal tell us that a person who works on Shabbos, ain't a rosim and bracha from their work, that you won't see a blessing from the money you make on Shabbos. Anyone who works on Shabbos. I understand. Hachush machish. We see that that's not true. We see there are people who made a lot of money working on Shabbos. We see people that totally reject Hashem, that seem to have these amazing, amazing lives. Right? You know, yesterday I took my son to Farmington, Connecticut. Does anyone know where Farmington, Connecticut is? I don't either. I'm still not sure. I just know it's past Waterbury. It's past New Haven. And why did I take him there? Because it was a car show. And there were cars that the collection of cars, and we're not talking all the cars, we're talking about 30 cars, easily over $50 million. Millions and millions of dollars of cars. Cars that you never heard of. Koenigseggs. Do you know they're Koenigseggs? You know what a Koenigsegg is? You know what a Pagani is? These are cars. I've no hasagas are. People in the show who get car magazines have never heard of what a Pagani is. What's a Pagani? Horatio Pagani, of course, you know? Mr. Hennessy was there himself. You don't know who that is. The guy who makes the Hennessy Viper. You know, like, okay, shkoyach. You know, like, people going around him. Oh, Mr. Hennessy, you know, taking pictures, selfies with him. You know, I told my son, I said, understand, a minute of your Torah is worth all the cars together here. I said, 1 minute of your Torah is worth more than all the cars together here. It's like, yeah, but Abbotham, why do they have all this stuff, you know? Now, it's a question. It's a question that a 14-year-old boy will ask in a moment of immaturity. And he knows the answer. That's not about, I know the answer, you know, he knows. But, you know, like, it weighs on us. Like, what's not fair? It's just not fair. And the Chafetz Chaim says, that's today's version of the Navi Sheker. Ki menas Hashem elokeichem eschem. Hashem's testing you. Ladas. Do you love Hashem and you're serving Hashem with all your heart and all your soul? Or are you serving Hashem because of the fringe benefits? So Hashem says, I'll show you people with great benefits that don't serve me. Now tell me, is it about me? And it's an interesting update of the Navi Sheker, that it's not only about a person who comes and says, I can do miracles. Why is Hashem giving the ability to do miracles to test you? Maybe his way of life is going to seduce you. But Chafetz Chaim says, a person who finds great success in Gashmias in this world, and now it's a test to you. You're looking at that person and saying, you know, maybe what I believe isn't real. maybe my emun and bitachon, maybe it's not. And you know, it's these things that really can affect a person. There's no question. We live in a world of such gashmias, where she'ifas, where aspirations are so much in the world of the physical, that, you know, I think these words of the Chafetz Chaim, of the modern Navi Sheker, is a real test for each and every one of us, myself included. It's a great test of emunah and bitachon, to know what we're here for, to know, you know, as David HaMelech tells us, and ironically, not ironically, it's the Perek of Tehillim that we normally say in a Beis Avel, Al tira ki asher ish ki yirbe kivod beiso, ki lo vimoso yikach halko, lo yered acharov kivodo. Right, when David HaMelech says, don't worry when you see a person becoming so wealthy in this world and you don't think he deserves it, because you know what? It's not going with him. He's not taking anything with him. Ki lo vimoso yikach halko, lo yered acharov kivodo. Where does his kavod go? Where does that kavod go? Where does it follow him? And so that's what the Chafetz Chaim says is an updated meaning to the Navi Sheker. But bichlal, when we come to the concept of a Navi Sheker, Rabbi Dr. Tzvi Hirsch Weinreb asks, what's the fundamental difference between a Navi and a Navi Sheker? You know, one tells you serve God, one tells you not to serve God. That's the obvious in the pasuk, because what's beneath it? And he says people mistakenly think that the purpose of a Navi is to tell the future. He goes, that's not the purpose of a Navi at all. So you know what the real purpose of the Navi is? What's the real purpose of the Navi? What's the real purpose of the Navi? Right. It's to admonish the people. It's to give constructive criticism. I copied the Lashon because I felt it's to give constructive feedback, pointing out the faults, and guide the Jewish people in going in a positive direction. Very often the message of the Navi was uncomfortable, right? Any criticism is uncomfortable, even if it's the most constructive. Yeshayahu, Yirmiyahu, Yechezkel, they were not speaking words of great comfort. I mean, of course, the Shivat Nechemta, the seven haftaros of consolation, was Yeshayahu after he bashed the Jewish people, telling them, but understand that Hashem is not rejecting you for all time. But Yirmiyahu and Yechezkel, harsh prophecies. We know, what do they do to Yirmiyahu? They chased him to kill him. According to some, Yeshayahu was killed by his grandson, a wicked king, because he was speaking to the truth. And they didn't want to hear the truth, right? We're not going to quote Jack Nicholson. You can't handle the truth. Don't worry, right? Certainly not in his voice. But that's really what the Navi was doing. But Rabbi Weinreb says, you know what the Navi Sheker did? The Navi Sheker said nice predictions. The Navi Sheker came to just try and make people feel good. He didn't try and aggravate the people. He didn't try, because change only happens when, well, and the famous psychologist I remember from graduate school says that change only happens when complacency is shattered. You don't change unless something happens to make the complacency uncomfortable, right? And that's why, unfortunately, the Churban happened, because listen to the words of Yirmiyahu HaNavi. It's in Perek Beis, Pasuk Yudalid of Eicha. In Pasuk Yud Gimel, he ends off, like, what's going to happen to you, Basi Yushalayim? How can I comfort you, Besulas Batzion? Mi Yirpa Lach, who will heal you? And Pasuk Yedalad, he says, Nevi'ay chazu lachshav, v'safel v'lo gilu avonech, l'hashiv shivuseich, v'yechzu lach masel shavu maduchim. Translated, what was Yirmiyahu saying? You know why you're not going to heal Bas Tzion? You know why you're not going to heal Yerushalayim? Because your prophets envisioned for you vanity and foolishness. They didn't expose your sins to bring you back in repentance. They prophesized to you oracles of vanity and deception. Meaning there were, understand, Yirmiyahu was speaking the truth, Yeshayahu was speaking the truth, and they were being persecuted before it, but because of it. But on the other hand, don't forget, in Bais Rishon, you had millions of Nevi'im, you had people standing up and saying, don't listen to Yeshayahu, don't listen to Yirmiyahu, everything is great, look at how strong we are. And Yirmiyahu said, who are you listening to? You're listening to those false prophets. You listen to those false prophets. Mamash, the Navi Sheker, Navi Sheker, the false prophets make it. It's nice, you know? It's all good. The Jewish community is great. We've never been stronger. There's so much Torah learning, and there's so much chesed, and the stuck, and all those things are true. But the real prophet, the real leader, has to call out the challenges and has to try and break that complacency. That's a big challenge. How do you do it in a way that you don't break people? Okay, that's walking the thin line. That's very difficult. And I apologize. I know it's late, and we're going to have to end. But there's an unbelievable idea that Rav Matzio Salomon brings down in his Matnas Chaim, Mamarim Beis. You know, we've spoken many times before the idea of Rav Tzadok HaKohen that there used to be a Ruach HaNevuah, a spirit of prophecy, that people could feel God's presence. And what took the place of that Ruach HaNevuah? Tefillah. And brachos. That's why we have to say so many brachos a day. That was last week's parsha, right? Say 100. Why 100 brachos a day? That's crazy. What else do we have to do 100 times a day? Our whole lives? What? That's crazy. No, brachos is about creating a spiritual intimacy, feeling of God's presence. And that was, Rav Tzadok says, a ruach hanavuah that existed during Bayis Rishon. There were millions of prophets, and there was a spirit of prophecy. Even if you weren't a prophet, you could tap into that to feel that closeness, and that's why they didn't need a sitter. You could just talk to God. You were able to tap in and could talk. You were inspired. But Avraham Grzynski, who was the top Talmud, they say, of the Altar of Slobodka, who was an unbelievable Baal Musar, the father-in-law of Rav Shlomo Volba, he was killed during the Shoah. Rav Avraham, and they say that he was the Baal Musar par excellence. They say that he worked for 2 years on heavy Mekabalos Kol Adam B'Sefer Panim Yafos. He worked on it for 2 years. 2 years. He himself testified about it. For 2 years, he worked on this teaching of Chazal, heavy Mekabalos Kol Adam B'Sefer Panim Yafos. Greet everyone with a happy face. And they said that Mamish, in the ghettos, he still had that happy face. They said it was crazy. He said just looking at him brought people chiz, brought people life and vitality again. But Rav Avram Grzynski, he had a number of shmuzen that were published posthumously by his son who survived in Eretz Yisrael called Torah Avraham. And Rav Matzio quotes from him something very scary. He has a different day. It's a different part of Nevuah, meaning the feeling of closeness from the Ruach Nevuah, that's Tefillah, that's Brachos. But he said, what takes the place of Nevuah, the essence of Nevuah? You know what he says? It's frightening. He says, suffering. He says, suffering takes the place of Nevuah. And it's a crazy idea, but Rav Matzio has a whole piece on this. That why do Yisurin come to a person? And really, it's a Gemara and Brachos, that, hey, Yisurin come to a person to do what? To wake you up. To shatter your complacency. To get you to grow. And Rav Avram Grzynski, the Taurus Avram, who understood what Yisurin were, he understood Yisurin better than any of us. The man, I mean, his daughter, Rav Albi's Rebbetzin, tells stories of what the home was. Even before the Holocaust, he had tremendous suffering in Europe, in the family, Tsaris in the family, and then obviously what he went through in the Shoah. Rav Avram Grzynski, the top Talmud of the Altar, that's what he tined. He tined that, well, Hashem doesn't punish us. And this was last week's parsha. Kasher yaser ishes p'no, Hashem elokechem yasreka. Hashem doesn't send us suffering to hurt us. Chas v'shalom. You ever notice that Yisurin and Musar share the same root? Yud samach resh? What is it? It's to direct. What's Musar about? Musar is to direct a person. And Rabbi Weinreb had a piece where he says that discipline, parents' discipline, doesn't mean punishment. Discipline means setting expectations for your child and helping them reach those expectations, about setting them on the path. And Rav Avram Grzynski says, you know, there's a vart that you can't really talk about Tisha B'Av time. It's only after Tisha B'Av time you can experience this idea. And Tisha B'Av, it's too dark. You can't accept such an idea almost. But he said that this is the purpose of Yisurin. That mamash, we don't have Nevuah anymore. But what takes the place of the Yisurin, of the prophecy, are Yisurin that Hashem brings to wake us up and to help us identify changes that we need to make. And Reb Chaim Volozhin in his commentary on Avos, I mean, there are many, Reb Matzio brings many, many supports for this Yisod. And it's when we talk about Nevuah being something we can't relate to, of course, the closeness of Hashem we can't relate to, so through Tefillin Brachos, but in terms of the purpose of the Navi, as Yirmiyahu, Yeshayahu, Yechezkel point out to us time and time again, it's to challenge us, it's to shatter that complacency, it's to propel us to grow further. Rav Avram Tainet, that's why Hashem brings Yisurin. He said, it's not chas v'shalom. Person thinks Hashem's hurt. Chas v'shalom. Hashem loves us with the greatest love you can imagine. the greatest love you can imagine Hashem loves you with. But he says that the purpose why Yisroel comes into the world is because Hashem is helping us grow, and Hashem is pulling us out of a sin or preventing us from all falling into a certain mindset and a certain sin. I know that's the last thing to end on. That's like a lot to swallow. That's a lot to think about. But this week, you know, from the Navi Sheker, there's still a lot to talk about. Again, you know, the idea of Acharei Hashem Elokechem Teilechu, the Chavetz Chaim and the Imrei Emes, that Acharei Loshen Muflug, distance, and that Chavetz Chaim says no such thing as distance. That's what the Pasuk teaching us. The Imrei Emes saying Dafka because a person feels a distance and the brokenness. That's Dafka why they're close. And that's what Chassam Sofer says from the beginning of the Parsha L'sichna Shidrashu. Then when you seek out God, it's guaranteed you're going to get there as long as you really, is that's what you want. And as Rashi says, Kiyakum B'kirbuch HaNavi, why does Hashem give a person such ability, Mamash had real supernatural abilities to test us, and the Chavetz Chaim says that happens today, not with supernatural abilities, he says, but with Gashmias, people that doesn't make any sense that they're so successful. Why do they get that? Hashem's testing us. And the last thing from Rabbi Weinreb about what the purpose of a Navi was, the difference between a real Navi and a Navi Sheker. The Navi Sheker said things that you wanted to hear. The real Navi said things you needed to hear, not that you wanted to hear. I mean, that's the idea from Rav Avram Gruzhinsky, Hashem Yim Kam Damav, great Mashkiach, the great Talmud of the altar of Slobodka, the Mashkiach ultimately in Slobodka himself, that the purpose of Yisurin is to take the place of Nevuah B'zman Hazeh, to propel us to grow ever further. And Hashem should just help us that, you know, we could grow when we recognize what we need to do without the Yisurin, that, you know, the Gemara says that a person who judges himself in this world won't be faced judgment in the next world, meaning a person who judges herself here and pushes herself on her own won't need those Yisurin. Yisurin bedil in him, and Yisurin run away from such a person. Hashem says, I don't have to bring this person this correction or this directive where they're supposed to be going. And Hashem should just help us that we can use the month of El, bring ourselves close to Hashem, uvosid bokon, and we should be zochet to a sense of dveikus.